So it's 5:02 and it's February 11th, 2021, and we're going to open the Boulder Town Planning Commission meeting. We have Matt, Josie, me, and Curtis is here from the zoning administrator as our administrator. Steve Cox is here as the mayor. So we'll go ahead and get started with the meeting. And the first thing I'll do is, can we make a motion on approving the agenda?
I'll make a motion on improving the January, oh no, this is the agenda for the February Planning Commission meeting.
Yes.
Someone
wants to second it.
Okay. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Cookie Shouse, aye.
Let's see, is Josie there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Barely.
Okay, so I'm going to take that as a yes vote.
Yes, is that better?
Yes. Yes,
okay,
that's
great. Yes, aye on the agenda.
Okay, so before, does anyone have any comments on the January minutes? Okay, so then I'll make a motion to approve the January minutes.
I'll second that motion. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Cookie Shouse, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Okay,
so then we can go ahead and move into our Lee Nellis project and ordinance revisions. Did all of you get the revision today?
I did.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if anyone has any. Matt, were you going to say something?
No, I just, yes.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know if anyone has any comments on the revisions. I just took a quick look at it.
So I just want to clarify, it was yesterday, correct? February 10th was the latest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got mine today. See, that's weird. I got mine today.
They went out to Planning Commission and Town Council yesterday.
Okay. Yeah,
I
wondered where.
I sent your own batch today.
Yeah, okay.
And just for clarification, the Town Council will be reviewing and discussing it in March meeting, is that correct?
Right.
So if we come up with anything before then, because I don't have anything right now, you know, we can talk about it.
Well, and we could be a part of the meeting, I assume, because their meeting comes before ours does.
Yeah. I forget what the revisions were that Lee was going to make. Does anyone remember?
You guys wanted him to drop off lodging and restaurant from the table of uses and make some notation that you still were considering recreational facilities, guest ranch, and RV parks and campgrounds.
Thank you, Peg.
Yeah.
And I didn't really see that, notice that in the document. Did anybody that those revisions were made?
Yeah, the table of uses was cleaned up.
Yeah.
I'm just looking to see where the other ones stand out. I'm just going down to the definitions.
Yeah.
So quick here.
Well, and it looks like they've been taken out too.
No, developed campgrounds still in there. RV parks, guest ranches, those are in
Okay. Well, I need to go back then and take a look. I didn't get a chance to get it. Oh, let's see.
So it still looks like then, Josie, that those revisions need to be made.
Well, the only two you wanted to go out were the restaurant and lodging specifically, because you hadn't really addressed the other three.
And we could refer back to our notes from January where this is where Lee was going to leave the campsites, the RVs, the guest ranch, and bed and breakfast might fit in there. Still in the table of uses, but make a notation that that's something that we still needed to review. I'm not seen the notation, but I think, you know, that's going to be part of our discussion tonight on what we still need to work on.
Right.
I'm still scrolling down to see if in the definitions there's some type of notation. So yeah. If I find it, I'll let you know.
So if there isn't a notation, let's make sure we get that over to Lee. And then I suppose in the meantime is we need to figure out what the priority is to work on next. And so I'm curious what you all think about that, or I suppose even what the mayor thinks.
Well, and Steve did ask us about that. And so do we want to work on the recreational facility, guest ranch, RV parks, and campgrounds? Do we want to just kind of keep moving forward?
Well,
I think, you know, we started that process. That's kind of what we've been working on the last 2 years. So I'd really like us to see the table of uses finalized. And those are the last things that we need to do before moving to another ordinance.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that. It'd be nice to put some bookends on that and get it done.
Well, and I want to see it in the new codified. Like I want to be able to see that exactly how all the new information looks like in the new codified edition. Okay, Penny. So then Steve, do you have any Peg, go ahead, Peg. Sorry.
Regarding your last comment about seeing it in the codified edition, Curtis will address that when he comes to his part.
Okay.
So my question then is I mean, you know, this whole thing's a daunting process because it's so large. So to take it step by step, I think is the smartest way to go. And we have, as Josie was hinting at, we have most of that work done in the RV park. So, how do we go about this next bit? Like, what do we need to do on RV parks?
Since Lee Nellis isn't here, I'm not really sure where we go from that. I mean, the table of uses, the one that you guys came up with at the beginning of the process, I still have that copy, and there were new definitions for those. Josie, remember?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start. And see what, you know, how we pull that in. Yeah, there's a lot of work that we did on that. And we had, you know, folks from the town working on that committee.
Right. Because I have that document here. I was looking at that and we never really, we kind of let that go. So we should be able to pick that back up with the definitions that you guys created, right? Because Lee actually looked at this document too and felt pretty good about it.
Yeah, I would think so. So, in my mind, this isn't going to take as long as the first process because one, everyone's familiar now with, you know, how it works. So I'm hoping that it doesn't take more than a couple months to maybe hash this out. And then at that point, you know, before this fiscal year's out, we could move on to the subdivision ordinance.
Yeah.
Great. So the question is, in order to prepare for the March meeting, we should have Lee review it. This is for the agenda. We should have Lee review it. And then all the planning commissioners should also review it. So when we come to the table in March, we can actually have a productive discussion about it and start moving.
Okay. And we'll have those three items then. And for any, for like Cookie or anyone, it's going to stem from the document that Matt and Josie created as far as the table of uses after Lee took a look at it and then those uses are still in there and we can take that, those definitions and work with those. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll put that on the agenda then. So it will be, it'll be recreational facility, guest ranch, RVs, and campgrounds. Yeah, okay. So does anybody else have any comments on that?
And developed campsite. Let's just make sure that gets pulled into. Developed campsite. Oh. That might be what you mean by campground.
Yeah, right? No, I think you're right. You're right, Josie. I think that, yeah, that's a different, that's another we should pull in definitions.
And I don't know, bed and breakfast is one that kind of, it stands out there. You know, we do have it in an ordinance. I don't know if we want to look at that again because of the way we've done our residential short term. So I don't know. That would be a question for Lee.
Right.
I know it has different laws that bed and breakfast, you know, needs to comply with.
Yeah, because there's a commercial bed and breakfast. Well, there's the Airbnb, then the commercial bed and breakfast. Yeah, we should look at that.
Yeah.
Well, and bed and breakfast have an association of their own in the state. I remember taking a look at what it takes to be a bed and breakfast in the state. Does anybody remember that?
I think we pulled some of that information into our document, but definitely need to, you know, double check that. See
yeah.
Where we need to go with it.
So do you want to go ahead and add that too then?
I think it should be part of the discussion, just to clean it up and to have consistency, you know, make sure
okay.
that, you know, what we've stated about commercial uses is across the board.
Right.
And Josie, do you have those definitions on hand pretty easily, the updated ones?
The updated ones I have in front of me.
Can
yeah.
you, is would it be simple for you to send us copies of that, the most recent?
They're in. So the definitions I'm speaking of are the ones that Lee sent in the documents yesterday.
Got you. Okay. Thank you.
Updated all of the definitions, pulled out what was unnecessary. But as far as pulling in the work that we did on our committee, that's not in here yet. That'll need to come from our documents.
Okay.
That we submitted, you know, 6 months ago.
Right.
Yeah, and I have a copy of that. If that's what you're, is that what you're asking for, Matt?
Well, we need it all on the table to discuss it.
Okay, good point.
And I have an electronic copy. I can go ahead and make sure everybody has that again, the electronic copy of the committee's work.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, Josie, just so, you know, we're going to do a lot better if we all actually read it before the next meeting and get ready for it.
Yep.
Yep, of course. I'll send it after the meeting.
Thank
and
you.
And CC the usual.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Okay, does anybody else have any comments about our project with Lee Nellis?
I have a question, Colleen.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was talking to Peg yesterday, and it occurred to me that in the subdivision ordinance, you're required to notify all adjoining property owners within 300 feet of the subdivision and furnish their names and everything. But we don't have that in the conditional use ordinance. And we have had an issue with that at one time in the past. It was before my term, but now that this new program is taking and making the conditional use permit so central to everything, and we're not doing the rezoning and everything, that this becomes the major vehicle. I emailed Lee and he said, that's really a good idea, that he feels that should be in there. He said he can do it by way of a simple amendment at the town council level, or you guys can look at it first and make it in the next round, kind of your choice, but it would be very simple. Just take it out of the subdivision ordinance and put it in the conditional use that the applicant has to furnish those names. And then we notify each of those adjoining landowners of any conditional use application, not just in a public hearing, but in the first regular meeting, so that everybody knows what's going on. Any comments, or how do you feel about that?
Well, for clarification, Curtis, does that just mean, I mean, we're just trying to be consistent, right? Nothing's really changing.
Well, it's not in the, we don't do it right now. So yeah, it would be for consistency, but it would also be, the question is, why would you do it on a subdivision and not on a conditional use permit? They they're both important. And so right. shouldn't we notify adjoining landowners when somebody applies for a CUP? So
yeah, I'm in favor of that. So yeah, I don't have any other comments.
And we can add favor. In. Oh, go ahead, Josie.
Yeah, sorry. I think that if that we use the consistent language that we have in the other ordinance, then we could go ahead and pass that on without a review and have it amended at the town council level.
Yeah.
I'm good with that too.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I don't know if you need to vote on that since it's you're sort of adding to your amendment. It might be a good idea to take a vote on that.
Okay. So do you want me to make a motion on that then?
Yep.
Okay. So then I'll make a motion that we, let's see, Matt, will you word that? Can you word that? Sorry.
I'll try. Yeah. So I'm making a motion to provide an amendment for the language in the CUP about notifying adjoining owners within 300 feet of the subdivision for the CUP. Did I say that right?
Good enough.
Yeah. So it's consistent. Yep. Should we add that word? Yeah. Okay. I second that.
All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Josie News, aye.
Cookie Shouse, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye. Thank you, Matt. Sorry.
Thanks. Okay. I'll relay that on to Lee.
Okay, so then we'll go ahead and move on to what we're calling staff reports. And Curtis is, and Michaela, we'll go through it with them. Curtis is going to talk to us about the zoning ordinance codification. Curtis, are you ready for that?
You bet.
Thank you.
So has everyone had an opportunity to kind of go to that link and sort of get a general idea what it looks like?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I read through it all in the last hour. Just kidding.
Oh,
you know, that's heroic. Anyway, in a nutshell, as I explained in one rather long email a while back, this whole codification process, which has been going on for about 18 months when it's first authorized by the town, was for the purpose of taking really what amounts to 50 years worth of ordinances, not too many 50 years ago, but an increasing number, and then kind of codified, if you will, sort of a codification, but not really, a LUDMA Compliance Act in our the zoning ordinance and the subdivision ordinance in 2008. That's when Bruce Parker and Associates was hired to do those. And then since then, we've had several amendments, and not all of the amendments are to the zoning ordinance or the subdivision ordinance. Some are, alcoholic beverages and different kinds of things. So what American Legal does, I think anyone who is able to just go onto the link can see, and they represent some 2,000 cities, towns, and counties that they do this for across the United States. And it's American Legal Publishing, but they recently bought out Sterling Codifiers, and that was our original contract was with. Then they were bought out 2 or 3 months later, but it's been a pretty seamless process just working with American Legal, now owns Sterling. So if you see the name Sterling in American Legal, it's really the same thing. So basically what they're doing is just taking all of these ordinances, and ideally it's a cut and paste operation where they just take and lift them from what they found on our website, and they're experts at doing this, figuring out, well, where do they go? They've got traffic regulations, public works, general regulations, business regulations, and those titles are relatively short. You'll notice that they only did an odd number of titles. And that's for the purpose of just allowing for growth. So if you're to pass new things, there'd be a place for them to go. This is a standard format. The big one, of course, is Title 15, the last one, and that's the general land use. And that includes business regulations, it includes the subdivision ordinance, and it includes the zoning ordinance. And then, of course, that's where all, and building and construction regulations. Oh, and it also makes reference to the general plan, but it adopts it by reference, but it doesn't publish it there because the general plan can be, in some cases, like Springdale is an example, is almost 250 pages long with exhibits. And so as a rule, they don't do that, but they adopt it and they refer to it and give the latest date. And then we put it as a separate item on our own website rather than on their link to their servers. And so that's the way the general plan works. And then chapter 152 would now be subdivisions with all of its subsets. And then chapter 153 would be the zoning ordinance. Now, as to your earlier question about, it'd be nice to see all of your recent work on the commercial amendments when it passed the town council incorporated here, the general plan that I've discussed with the mayor, and I think the only way this can work without bogging it down too much is to go ahead and to get this one passed. We need to schedule a public hearing for it. I'm just introducing it tonight. Get this passed, because what this is purely a codification, not an amendment with a couple of exceptions. And so being able to do that, then we have a nice baseline. Then even though I believe your commercial work, your first round of commercial work will be passed before this still has a place for it to live. And that's up in the top there. It says ordinances pending codification. So anybody would be able to go up there and see all of your new work. But then once we have this structural thing in place, then we have to send it to them, and then we have to get in queue, and we pay them a certain, a reasonable per page fee. And then they go through and use their expertise to then blend the whole thing together. If we tried to do that before we pass this, it could really bog it down, and it could take months longer, because we're sending a whole bunch of stuff back to them before we've even finalized this with them. So that was the plan. I talked with the mayor, and I would encourage, I hope you're okay with that, that we can just kind of proceed on this. Now, having said that, what this does is codify and not amend, I did say there's a couple of exceptions to that. And so I pointed those two exceptions out. One is Title I, General Provisions. And this is what I kind of referred to as the boilerplate that covers the town legally in terms of meanings of words, abbreviations, non-severability clauses, just different things that they use through all of their cities and towns. Now, town lawyers can add to it or change it, but what they have submitted, I think, is really straightforward, and it really fits with the program, and it's something we should have. And it also kind of incorporates the very first few elements of the zoning ordinance where there's some stuff there. But so that would be an amendment, the change in language there and a few additions. And we can break those down more if you want, although they are really pretty straightforward. So I'll just kind of go by that for now. And then if someone has questions about it, I can open up here. Unfortunately, I'm on my server or my web browser, so I can't open it for you as a document share. And so I'm looking at my other screen here to read from it. The other one that was a little more involved was under business regulations, and that was to alcoholic beverages. And during this 18-month process, they would go back and forth, well, what was this? What was this? And da da da. And they would try to find anomalies and, you know, they'd have editorial questions for me and I'd answer them best I could and refer them to our ordinances and, oh, this is where you find this, et cetera. But in doing the alcohol thing, it started back in the early 90s and then it came through as far as 2015. And as the town attorney did the amendments, there was a couple of things that weren't really included and weren't caught. And then in addition, we had Hills and Hollow get a state license and local consent, and we really didn't have a license for it. So I talked to the mayor and I just went through and simply, if you go to alcohol, if you type in your search thing there and just go type in alcohol, you'll see it. And all it really does is take the class A, B, and, you know, C licenses and lines them out, and it adds the license for brother. Sometimes I hate this computer. Anyway, it adds a license for Hills and Hollows, and I can't get the thing open right now, but you can look at it yourself and you'll see it's just go sequential. We don't have class C licenses, but we have A, which is your retail, you know, gas station, beer sales for off premises. Then B is your restaurant you have to do with food. C would be like a beer bar. And they're not allowed in town. And then the D would be the package store. And so, it just kind of lays it out and it's totally consistent with the licenses that these establishments have with the state of Utah. And so we, at their request, I just cleaned that up. Other than that, I'm developing a little, it's a very short edit list that I need to send them, but it should be quick. For example, under temporary uses, they called it temporary dwellings for some reason. And I can't get this thing to. Anyway, so it's just an edit. I can send you a list of these edits that we've accumulated. Michela has taken on the job of reading through it to kind of do line edits. We found one typo, for example. So they're just a little bit of housekeeping like that, but we're kind of trying to keep it to things that they have either requested or this boilerplate at the beginning in terms of housekeeping to get this through. And then generally once we get this passed and then we'll have your round one of commercial passed through the town council, Then generally a codification, from what I understand, takes, you have to get in the queue. And they assign people to do this. So it's never instantaneous. It's going to be probably a minimum of 60 days and maybe 90 days for them to get it, depending on how big it is and complicated. And the commercial one is complicated enough that they'll have to, you know, they have to go through and insert it in several different places. So I'm anticipating at least 60 days to get that one codified and in place. And then anything new that comes on will be treated similarly. We get in the queue, and then they add it in, and then it goes from ordinances awaiting codification to being in the main body. So, does any of that make
sense? Very interesting.
Yeah, it's a lot easier than having to go to the zoning ordinance and then wonder, well, now has this been amended? What's the latest on it? And
yeah.
It looks well organized at a heroic glance. I wonder if you can send the PC copies of the amendments as you get to them.
Copies of the what?
The amendments with the alcohol and with the exceptions.
Yeah, after one amendment and the alcohol. Yeah, what I'll do is I'll send you a link, both a link, and I can copy them and send them to you.
Thank you. I'm just really thankful that this was hired out because you couldn't pay me enough money to try and codify this much information.
Well, that's what they do. They're good at it. I'm impressed.
That brings up a question on what's existing chapter 111 is the alcoholic beverages. Are you finished with that? Is it ready for review or are you still working on it?
No, it's It's as good as I can make it. It's ready for review. Now, you might find some things in there that you can improve on, and that'd be great.
Okay, very good. And then I have something for your edit list, perhaps. Mm-hmm. You may have already caught it. But it's under Title 13, the general offenses, the fireworks and burning.
Okay.
It speaks to, you know, the restriction in 2018 that was passed during fire restrictions, and it wasn't ever, it doesn't look like it has an expiration date, or perhaps it wasn't redacted, and maybe that's why they picked it up. But those fire restrictions are typically seasonal, and the way it reads, it looks like it's, you know, a permanent restriction.
Okay. Yeah, I read that and wondered too, that if it was supposed to be permanent, but I just, because I know we had one that, another one that they picked up that expired at the end of October. And so I kind of wondered about that too. So that's a good
thing. That's typical. They would expire like when typically, you know, the federal lands lift their fire restrictions, then counties and towns typically follow, and October 1st is a general date. You know, on some occasions, in some years, we have to extend that. But my concern with that is that it implies that agriculture burning would be, you know, illegal, according to this language.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not. So,
well, that's a good catch. And I frankly didn't know whether fireworks had been banned year round or what was going on there. So I'll bring that up with the mayor and we'll figure it out and get back
to
you.
Thank you.
And, you know, Michela is reading through this to read the existing ordinances off the website and then line edit to catch any other mistakes. So as you have an opportunity to go through this, anything that you spot like that, please shoot me an email, and because we're going to consider this the housekeeping round.
Cool. Well, it's an amazing document, and it's always nice to have professional people help you, just like with Lee Nellis helping us right now with things that I know nothing about, really, or one, you know, very little. So it's great to see a document like that.
I'm
glad you got to look at it, Matt, you know, so you seem pretty positive about it. Okay, so Curtis, then will you give us the status report on the Deer Ranch application? Is there anything on that?
Well, there's nothing on the agenda for it. It, I guess a day or two ago, they got some stuff over to Michela. I have not personally seen it yet. Michela is doing the new intakes now. We're getting Michela in a position to take over the zoning administrator, as you know. And I'm just trying to finish up codification and a couple of projects. And then I'm just going to be available to help her on demand. But but I have not seen it yet. So there's really, I don't know, Michela, have you?
Both Peg and I have looked through it. It was dropped off early this week. It's incomplete, so we'll be in touch with them about, so far none of the issues that were brought up in the last council meeting when it was introduced have been addressed, and some other stuff. So incomplete as of now, but it was submitted either Monday or Tuesday, I believe.
Okay, so if we get more information from them early enough, then we'll put it on next month's agenda.
Absolutely.
Okay. So then how about our residence mapping update?
Absolutely. So as of last month, I didn't have the tallies. According to my numbers, so we'll start with Upper Boulder. There, according to what I can tell, there are 42 total buildings, residences, homes. Of those, I can deduce that 26 of them are primary residents. In Middle Boulder, there are 46 total residents, and by that I mean homes or stuff that looks like a home to me when I look at it on mapping if I don't know them personally. 24 primary residents. And for the grand winning total of 69 total homes or dwellings in Lower Boulder, and 32 of those are primary residents.
Wow.
I know. That was, I was surprised by how much bigger, how many more homes in Lower Boulder.
So you
have
now
to live down here to real.
What, Cookie?
I just said you kind of have to live down here to realize it.
Yeah.
So could you just do it really fast? Like again, Upper Boulder, 42 residences, 26
primary,
and then middle 46. Boulder is, and 24 primary.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lower Boulder is 69
and 32.
And how many? And 32 primary.
Yeah, and that's a rough estimate based on what I can see via Google Maps and Onyx Maps.
And Michaela, do you know if that is that time sensitive to when that ordinance was passed? And I think, when was that?
No.
2000. Is it the ADU ordinance, you know, goes into effect the date it was passed. And so,
and I would say that it's probably not far off. There has been some new construction, and there still is currently new construction going on up in the estates.
And there's definitely a lot of new construction down in Lower Boulder, which is
Exactly. So both Lower and Upper are probably affected by that. Middle, maybe not. I haven't seen too much new construction over there, and there doesn't look to be any. I mean, Middle's pretty stable, to use the word loosely.
Yeah.
At
well,
this point.
The question at this, thank you for all that, by the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good job. Good job.
It's really good to have those numbers. And it's actually fairly equitable for drawing off the cuff lines. But I suppose in order for true fairness, we have to make it even more equitable. So I'm not sure how to do that, mm-hmm. if that means we need to make an amendment to that ADU ordinance or what. Or was it there? I can't remember now. I'm not thinking straight, but.
Yeah, no, you're right, because we did put the three sections into the ordinance. So,
yeah.
But those lines are going to have to be more equitable, right?
Well, can I weigh in, Colleen?
Yeah.
Please.
On the RSTR ordinance, the discussion, Perry was kind of leading the charge on that. And so when it came down to the final couple of meetings and I was taking the notes and drafting it and bringing these changes back to you, the thought was that when you assigned a percentage to it, then it made it automatically equitable across the board, because if Middle Boulder, if that region has 24, then 15% of 24 is a lower number than Lower Boulder, 15% of 32. And so it was automatically adjusting, and there was no number set or a date set. It was kind of a floating target. So 15% would be about six, roughly. So you would take six or seven new homes built in a district before one more home would be eligible for an RSTR conditional use permit. And so that was kind of the discussion, and that's where you landed, and that's what I drafted and what the town council passed. So
I want to, if yeah. I'm hearing you right, I mean, I think our original intention was that actually there was a cap, so the RSTRs would not grow with development in number, they would stay capped, at 4 or 5, whatever it was, according to the date when the RSTR ordinance was passed, it was absolutely crucial that they don't increase with development of more housing.
Well, if that's what you want, then I suggest you want to amend it, because the way the discussion, that was what you had, something like a certain number could be allowed. And then we established the zones, because it wasn't necessarily equitable to have a certain number for the whole town that got weighted somewhere. So then you went to the zones, and then in the last part of it, you went to the 15% to level the playing field in all the zones and to cap it at 15% of the total permanent residences. And so that's the way the ordinance reads right now.
And so but the language isn't in there.
You'd have to amend it.
The language isn't in the ordinance that it was at 15% at the date the RSTR ordinance passed the numbers then.
I would have to reread that, but I don't believe that's what it says. It's been a while since I've reread it.
You know,
I can research that and shoot the email to them.
That was certainly our intention.
I'll clear that up. I'll do a little analysis tomorrow and shoot you an email on it based upon and quote chapter and verse, and then you can take it from there.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Does anyone else have any comments?
Well, so Curtis, you're going to send that to all of us, not just Matt, right?
Yeah, no, to all of you, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, that's
I need to go through and read the AD. Yeah, I need to go through and read that amendment of the RSTR and the ADU to refresh my memory. You know, it's been a while. So thank you, Pat.
You can find them now on that link to the codification.
Right.
And you can also still find them on the town website under, you know, ordinances passed in 2019 and 20.
Yeah.
And Josie, you were in on that RSTR. Is that how you read it when we were putting it out?
Yes, that's how our discussion, that's what our discussion asked for. Now, if that got changed when it got passed at the town council, I don't know. I'm trying to pull it up, but my computer is running slow, so I haven't been able to look at the document during our discussion here.
Yeah, me either, because I never... Some of these I don't see after the town, after they've gone to the town. So that's a good thing to look at. That'd be something good to look at. Okay, so is there any other comments on the mapping?
Just, so we'll just go ahead and put that up. A lot of gratitude to Michela to thank her for all that work.
Yeah.
Boy, no kidding. That was amazing.
Oh, yeah. I was just trying to look up the ordinance for you really quickly, because my recollection is similar to Curtis's, that it was originally a number, but then there was talk of changing it to the 15%. So I was just going to pull that up really quick, but I'll do that while you move on through the next thing and find the actual wording that's posted online.
Yeah, but regardless of whether it's a specific number or a percentage, the important part, again, and I'm sorry I keep hitting on it, is the date. It applies to the date the ordinance was passed and the amount of houses that were in place as primary residences then.
Okay, got it. I'll look at it really quick and then, yeah.
Okay.
That's all I've got.
Okay. And so, Peg, are you going to do we'll move on to the conflict of interest forums?
All I need to say about that is that the town council did pass a resolution that all the elected and appointed bodies would sign a conflict of interest form, and they've developed the form now. So I haven't sent that out to you, I don't think, yet, but I will send that out, and I guess... I guess you just return them to me and then I'll get them into Michelle in the office and how they're going to be kept there. So Board of Adjustment, Planning Commission, and Town Council will be signing those.
And we'll get them through the mail?
No, I'm just going to email an attachment to you.
Oh, okay. 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 That sounds good. Does anybody else have any comments about the conflict of interest forums? Okay. So let's see. I'm not sure if Ms. Shayla, let's go ahead and discuss upcoming business for March 11th. So Peg, I think we have what we're going to discuss with Lee Nellis. He's usually at the beginning of the meeting. I'm going to insert in here too, next month we'll still meet at 6 o'clock because that following week is when the time changes. So our first meeting of changes won't be until like April. Right, Peg?
Right.
Yeah. So just to comment on that. So anyway, for the next month agenda, we'll talk about what we're doing with Lee Nellis. I would imagine there might be information as far as on the codification.
Well, Colleen, can I specify the Lee Nellis thing?
Yeah.
That's the discussion we want to have around RV campgrounds, developed campgrounds, recreational facilities, and guest ranches.
Yeah.
That specifically, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, and you can put that in the agenda too if you want. You know, specify that if you want, Peg.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
So will we actually be talking about the codification next month? Are we kind of done with that?
Well, what I thought was going to happen is that you would just have a public hearing and discuss and vote next time. And this is on the existing codification document, not any amendments, not any of those big amendments, just
right.
Exactly what exists right now.
So it needs to go through a public hearing with us and then we'll pass it on. Okay, so then we'll go ahead and add that then. Because okay. That will give everybody time to take a look at that codification.
Yes, and I don't have that link on the website right now, but certainly for a public hearing, it needs to be up there. So I guess that's a simple enough thing, Curtis. I just put the link that you had provided and anyone can go in and open that up and look at it.
Yeah, and I'd say the sooner we can do that, the better.
I'll
put it that it's convenient so that people can, because it is a lengthy situation, and so make it accessible to the public and anybody who wants to be able to see it. That's a great idea.
Do you remember how many pages it is, Matt? Anybody have any idea how many pages that document is right now?
It's infinite.
The number 170 sticks in my head. I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Zoning and subdivision and all the miscellaneous others. So.
Well, our old one has quite a few pages, about the same, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as far as all of those put together.
Right. Yeah. It should be the same as the old one with a couple of exceptions we talked about.
Okay.
I'd hate to imagine what a town codified ordinance looks like that's bigger than Boulder, every other town in the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The nice thing is what that will look like on the website will, in fact, just be a link that goes to American Legal. So it won't be that list of documents that we have right now whatsoever. That will go away. It'll be a link that goes to this document that we're talking about, the codified document. And you'll be able to do keyword searches. So, you know, you look up ADUs or RSTRs or whatever, and you can go right to the things that are mentioned in those. It'll be very helpful, I think, for people to find things.
Yeah. Okay. And then for the agenda next month, do you want to go ahead and put the Deer Ranch application status on? So
we can assume that they're going to have a complete application for you to look at, I guess. So yes,
then next month we'll take it off.
Right.
Okay.
I see Donna's on the line here. there is that 10-day requirement before a meeting, so you guys have time to actually look at the application and consider it. So that's an important thing to keep in mind as well, is it needs to be complete 10 days, give you 10 days. So there's some questions. Michelle, I think, was going to get in touch with Sean, and I'm speaking for her. I don't know. but yeah, just to iron those things out that you need to provide still.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Right. So let's put it on the agenda. And then if it's not done, I'm most likely will be at the meeting. And if everything's not complete, I'll just give you a 2-second update.
Okay. And then the mapping, we'll put that back on, and we need to look at the percentages and the date as far as when the ADU went in, like Matt said. So we'll go ahead and bring that back up too, because it seems like there's a couple of questions on that.
Yeah, and if I heard Curtis correctly, he's going to read through it, and I'll do the same thing, and we can just get the logistics on the wording down and make sure we're all on the same page about what it says and go from there.
Yeah. Okay, because I want to be, that'll be the first thing I look up on the new codification link, so.
Yeah, and the actual ordinance is on our website, so whichever is easier for you. If you go to the Boulder Town website, it's towards the, I'm just looking it up really quick. You just go in the headers along the top, it's the third one in, it's documents, forms, and applications in that first drop down. And then just go down towards the bottom of the page, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 12th from the bottom is the RSTR ordinance. It's ordinance 2019-2 RSTR. So if that is helpful.
Okay.
So for anybody who wants to read what actually passed, that's
right.
What's on the website. So.
Right. And that's what I'd like to take a look at. We probably all should take a look at, because once it went through from us to the town council, there might have been changes in it. So
I think Coley and I have a record of that too. So when I send it out to you, break down, give you my thought on it, I will also bring that out of my file. And if I can, I'll be able to look at what you sent up and any change that the town council made.
Yeah.
So highlight that for you too.
Okay. So we will move on to our final public comments. So we will open a few minutes, some time for anyone that has a comment from the public. And I guess, should I say that you need to raise your hand, or Peg or Michelle will acknowledge any of the public if you have any questions or comments.
Or you can wave on your video if you want to put that on.
Okay, Tina's got her hand raised. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm sorry not to have the actual state bills at present, but Peg has put them, I think, on Pegboard through other people who have made comments about the fact that AUDs, additional
ADU.
Unit to, ADUs and the ability to do the rental situation, short-term rentals are actually, the state is actually trying to put a bill to allow anybody to do a rental, short-term rental. So I'll try and get those bills. I think it's been on Peg's boards, but there's, you know, those bills should be, as a town, I think we should make loud and clear that the reasons we even allow for ADUs right now is to help with the affordable housing, and that we should not be eliminated from the ability to regulate that. So also pig farms, there's a lot of things right now. And I just think everybody should be putting their comments out there. And if it's possible, even through the planning commission and, you know, town council would be appropriate, including, you know, letting our commissioners know. So my comment.
Thank you, Tina. That's a good comment. And those are really important issues that we need to keep up on. Like, I don't know if the town or the planning commission can get together and send letters as groups, but yeah, there's a lot to look at, like you said. Thank you. Peg.
What Tina just said, my understanding is that single family dwelling bill that's looking like it's probably going to be passed is actually is looking at housing, not so much short-term rentals, but they are trying to accommodate housing. However, they're making it a requirement across the board, across the state. And so they would nullify any local ordinances. That's the problem, I think, with it. They would say that any single family dwelling can have an ADU built within it. I think it's, anyway, have an ADU. So,
but that is not the same as being an RSTR, correct?
Right. It's not, they're not specifying short term. Certainly it's to address housing, but they're just making it mandatory that any single family unit can have it, no matter where they are, what zone or what municipality. So that's all.
And would we'd have to follow, I mean, do they have specifications or is it just, well, I guess we have to look at the bill.
Yeah, you'd have to look at the bill, and you could probably Google single family dwelling on the legislative site and find it. But again, it's you know, middle of the session. It's not a done deal yet, but it's something I think any town that has its own way of doing its ordinances and its zoning and the time you guys have spent doing ADU discussions, it would sort of be a shame to just nullify all that and take it out of your hands completely.
Yeah. Hmm. Wow.
Anyway, worth a thought.
Yeah, it is. Thanks for bringing that up, Tina.
Yeah, Tina.
Do we have any other public comments?
I'm not seeing raised hands. Not seeing any waving going on. Or people jumping in to say something. Nope. Okay.
Okay. Oh, I did. Okay. So it's 6 o'clock. I mean, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. So we did a lot in an hour, I think. Thank you, everybody, for your comments and input. And so does anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to close this public for a planning commission hearing, whatever it is, meeting.
I second it.
All in favor, Matt Cocker and I.
Josie Muse,
Johnson,
aye.
Cookie Shouse, aye.
Did you get Josie, Peg?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you all. Thank you all for all your help.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then we will see you next month.
Yes. Good night.
Good night. Good night.